Your Bibles out, if you would. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 4. We're going to turn to two different passages of Scripture. We're going to start out with Acts chapter 4. I'm sad to say, my sermon tonight, though anybody could understand it, for a few, it really won't interest you much, because I'm going to talk about the subject of prayer. You say, well, preacher, why won't it interest us much? You don't pray. And because you don't, this subject really won't interest you a lot. But for some, if you listen to me, I think I'd like to tell you some things that will help you with your prayer life. Acts chapter 4, verse number 13. Stand with me if you would. We're going to read one scripture together, then we'll turn to another passage in the Old Testament. I have to tell you, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I just love this verse. It says in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, "Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Of course, this passage tells us that it was obvious that Peter and John had been with Jesus. People recognized that. Now, I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 34 real quickly. Exodus chapter 34. I want you to find verse number 29, Exodus 34, verse 29. I'm going to read to you verse 29, verse 30, and then we're going to go to verse 35. It says this, Exodus 34, verse 29. "And it came to pass, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with them. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh to him." Now look at verse 35. It says, "And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him." Now let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. Help the simple truth and these simple instructions about prayer to help us. For some who really don't pray much, maybe they'll take an interest. To some who enjoy prayer, may we somehow maybe purify their prayer life or help it to step up and become more productive. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there. In the first passage of Scripture that I read in Acts chapter 4, verse number 13, the Bible says that Peter and John were in a certain place and people seen them. And the Bible says that the people that observed them said, "We can tell they had been with Jesus." I think that's such a wonderful compliment. I think that's such a wonderful thing. Then I went to the Old Testament, and there's this story of Moses, and he had gone up on Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments. The Bible says when he came down, his face was shining. There was a holiness about his face. And on three separate occasions there in Exodus 34, it was obvious Moses had been with God. So Moses had been close enough to God that he caught the shine of it all in the Old Testament, and Peter and John in the New Testament had been close enough to Jesus Christ that some people looked at them and said, "You've been with Jesus, haven't you?" I just thrill at the thought of that. You could tell they'd been in the presence of God. I think sometimes there are people that, for instance, go to prayer. They kneel. But I think sometimes we kneel, but not in God's presence. We just kneel. I think there are some people that talk while they kneel, but not even necessarily pray while they kneel. They just talk. Years and years ago, at a church I attended, there's a husband and wife couple. You'll never in a million years figure out who they are. But they, to be very honest, they lived pretty wild, and they had messed their minds up on drugs. Now, they came to church. They were in Sunday school. They were in Sunday morning church. They were in Sunday night church. They were in Wednesday night church. They lived on the streets. They had their own shopping cart that they would push around as they would gather aluminum, and they kept what belongings they had in their shopping cart. They would come to church and they would park their shopping cart in the alley, but they would come to church. Now, I got to tell you something. I respected the fact they were more faithful than people that were not in their situation. They were Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. They were always there. I don't think people were trying to be rude, but they couldn't figure out how to refer to them. And the couple didn't help a lot. The man and the couple, everywhere he walked, he talked. But we're not really sure who with. Because he'd just be walking around and looking around and talking and talking and talking. I think some of the teenagers, they didn't know how to refer to them. And it's sad, but they called them the crazy couple. But they came to church. And I don't know who they were talking with. I can't tell you. I would tell you, if any of you had been at that church and you took a moment, you would probably say, I remember there's someone like that. And I kind of know their story. But I don't know who he was talking to. My pastor of many, many years, Dr. Jack Hiles, preached with Dr. John R. Rice, the editor and founder of the Sword of the Lord Ministries. Dr. Hiles preached with Dr. Rice over 2,200 times as they would travel the world and preach together. And Brother Hiles said, you could be walking with Dr. Rice somewhere up the street, and Dr. Rice would be a handful of steps behind you. And Brother Hiles said, I would hear Dr. Rice talking. And he said, I would turn around and say, did you need something, Dr. Rice? And Dr. Rice would say, I wasn't talking to you. Dr. Hiles said he'd turn around, mind his business. He said he would hear Dr. Rice talking. He'd turn around. And finally, it occurred to him he was talking to the Lord. Now, if you know the name John R. Rice, we know who he was talking to. Now, the man off the street who had messed up his mind, we don't know who he was talking to. I'm not sure he knew who he was talking to. But let me tell you this. We have the privilege of talking to God. I'd like to recommend to all of us that if you're going to take the time to pray, that you pray since you've taken the time. I will say something that's very simple tonight, but I think I can help you. There are people that talk on their knees. I'm not sure they talk to God. Hey, there are times we'll come to prayer meeting, but we meet with each other more than we meet with God. Let me tell you something that's real simple. The word prayer, it's equivalent to our word ask or asking. So when you say, I'm going to pray, it means you're going to ask God for something. Okay? Now, when you go to prayer, let me ask, do you really meet with God? Are you really talking to Him? I think one of the common mistakes that we make is we say we're going to prayer, but we forget to who we're praying. Prayer is a spiritual task. And let me tell you, prayer can be work. And I'm not trying to frustrate your thinking or minimize prayer at all, but I got to tell you something. Prayer can be work. And I'll tell you, it's a spiritual task. And most people, they don't do well with prayer because it is work. You say, well, what's the big deal? What makes it work? You have to make yourself concentrate. And the average person will not shut out the world long enough to connect with God. The average person who has any type of a prayer life lets everything under the sun interrupt it, minimize it, shorten it, or eliminate it. One of the biggest enemies of prayer today is a cell phone. This average person will have their phone. If you can even get them to have a prayer time, they'll go to prayer, but they're worried to death about their cell phone. I think if you'll listen to me for just a couple of minutes, I want to talk to you about, look, if you're going to take the time to pray, it'd be a wonderful thing if you prayed to God and you asked for something. That's not complicated, and that's reasonable. But I think my experience is a whole lot of people, they can go to their knees, but they don't meet with God, and they can talk words, but I'm not sure they're praying. I want to be like John R. Rice. I don't want to be like the crazy people. For instance, I think we go to prayer, but you got to understand, talking about God to God, but not asking for anything, is not praying. Let me say it again. Talking about God to God, but not asking Him for anything, is not praying. It's okay to glorify God, and you should. But could I recommend to you that if you're going to go to prayer, that you ask for something? Matter of fact, I think in your time with God, you need a moment, you need a time to worship Him, you need a time to glorify Him. And what is that? That's where you're telling God how wonderful He is, and you're telling God how marvelous He is, and that you know that He's eternal, and you know that He's all-powerful, and that you know that He's omniscient or all-knowing. But can I tell you something? If you spent an hour telling God how wonderful He is, you have not asked for anything. And you should spend an hour telling Him how wonderful He is. But if you're going to pray, you need to ask for something. Sometimes we praise, but we don't ask. Which reworded is, we pray, we praise, but we're not praying. And there's a difference in praising and praying. Worship is not asking, it's making a statement. You are a great God. You have all power. You are the everywhere present one. You know everything. You're the great lover of people. Now, I haven't asked for one thing. It's okay to praise and it's right to worship. But sometimes talking about God to God is not asking for anything. I'll make this statement at the end of my sermon. The main reason we do not get our prayers answered is simply this. We don't pray. We don't pray. So, talking about God to God is not necessarily asking Him for anything. Number two, talking about people but not to God is not praying. Let me say it again. Talking about people but not to God is not prayer. There are some people that go to their knees to verbalize their gossip. There are some people that go to their knees to verbalize their judgment or being judgmental. When you go to pray, let me tell you, if you ever pray with other people, I would choose your words very carefully. You should not be praying with a prayer partner, but spending all your time gossiping about other people. I think it's a dirty, low down, rotten way to spread bad news. God never intended for prayer to be a gossip time. I've been around people, they go to prayer and they're going, "Oh dear God, help sister so-and-so. She's such a whore. God help her." You know what you are? You're a gossip. You're being nasty. And you're being hateful. Listen, are you talking to yourself about other people? That's not prayer. I don't even think telling God everything that's wrong with somebody else is prayer. Prayer is sincerely asking for something. So, number one, if we talk to God about God, but we don't ask for anything, it's good that we praise, but at some point it'd be a good idea for you to pray, which means to ask for something. Secondly, talking about people, but not to God, or even if you talk about people to God, but you don't ask for anything, that's not really productive praying either. Number three, I think sometimes people go to their knees and just talk. They just talk. No concentration. They just ramble. No spiritual connection with God. Filling up the time. No true productivity. It's a little bit like your Bible reading. You read something, but you don't remember what you read, and you just said something in prayer time, but you have no idea what you said. It was just endless rambling. The Bible might refer to it like sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. You're just making noise. Prayer is asking for something. And I go back to the basic premise. The reason we don't get our prayers answered is because so many times we don't ask for anything. We might be praising God, which is good, but we didn't ask for anything. We might have taken our prayer time just to be gossipy and want to say out loud what we've been thinking about someone, but that's not real praying. We could just be rambling aimlessly and endlessly and just talking. That's not really prayer. Let me warn you of this. In regard to your prayer life, maybe you're just talking to yourself. Are you just talking to yourself? Are you busy listening to you? Are you having a mental conversation with yourself? I know this is obvious, but I probably ought to tell you, when you pray, you're to be talking to God. God has a throne. And you and I were told that we may boldly approach God's throne and make our requests known unto Him. Now, one reason why, now you don't have to be on your knees to pray, but could I tell you something? It'd be a good idea every once in a while for you to put yourself on your knees to pray. But that getting on your knees, that's a humility thing. You say, why? You know, when you pray, you have approached Jehovah God's throne in His throne room. Now, this business of fiddling, playing, ignoring, gossiping, you better stop and realize we serve a holy God. And when you pray, you're to be in the presence of God. You say, I never get that close. I know, I think that's the problem. And what I'm telling you is, who are you talking to? What are you really trying to accomplish in your prayer time? Like I said, hey, if you're talking to God about God, that's good and you should and you're supposed to praise Him and you are to worship Him and uplift Him, but you're supposed to ask for something. You shouldn't be busy just talking about people, and you shouldn't be busy just talking and endlessly rambling with religious words and connotations. You're supposed to be praying in the presence of a holy God. So I wonder how many times we say we're praying, but we're actually talking to ourselves. The Bible talks about God will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on God. The word stayed there means anchored in God. I'd like to recommend a real, real simple thing for you. When you go to prayer, you need to get everything out of your brain and lock in on God. Remember who you're talking to. Remember that. That's very important. So prayer is not just me and you talking to ourselves. I think people can be guilty of discussing on their knees their personal problems with themselves. See, if you're talking about your problem, but you're not locked in on God, you are basically having a conversation with yourself about yourself, but you happen to be on your knees and you're calling it prayer. Could I tell you this? You are not the one that's supposed to solve your problem. You are to go to prayer to get Him to solve your problem. So you having a mental discussion with yourself is not what prayer is all about. It's almost sometimes like we're praying to ourselves. Sometimes we're so self-absorbed. Can I warn you of something? If you're not careful, you'll go to your knees, you call it a part of prayer, but you're about to throw a party. And it's going to be a pity party. And you have invited you. I've heard people pray and not say a word to God. Oh, it's so bad. You can't get any words. It's so miserable. Oh. Are you talking to God or are you hugging yourself? Could I recommend that if you got a burden, get it to the Lord. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. And boy, I think you can cry. I think you can have emotion. But you just telling you and reminding you and repeating to you again how bad it is, it doesn't fix it. What do you need to do? Tell God. Ask for what you want. So remember, talking to God about God, but not asking Him for anything, that's not praying, it's praise. It's good, and you should do it, but you ought to ask for something. Talking about people, but not to God, that's basically gossip and being judgmental. Just talking, that's not prayer. Talking to yourself, being self-absorbed. And could I recommend, and again, those of you that pray, I want you to think about tomorrow when you go to prayer, what I'm saying. When it's prayer time, it might be a good idea for you to take a moment and glance at the Heavenly Father that you're about to pray to. And remember, this isn't a little private party that you're about to throw mentally in your own mind. That won't get you anywhere. You are praying to the great God of the universe, and you might want to remember who He is and that you're talking to Him. Then, I think sometimes we pray and we're talking to others or for the sake of others, and I'm not meaning praying for them. We're concerned about them hearing us pray. I think sometimes when we're concerned about talking to others and we are talking to God. We have our men's prayer breakfast once a month. When we all divide up to go and pray, what happens is that usually we'll have a pair of men go somewhere and they pray, and then we pair up a couple more men and they go somewhere and pray. Let me say to all the men, do not spend a moment of your prayer time worried about what your partner thinks while you're praying and talking to God. But men, think about it. We worry. I wonder what old brother so-and-so thinks about the way I'm praying. Boy, I hope I can come up with some Old Testament five-syllable names that I can use in my prayer to make it seem as if I really know God in the Bible of the God. Can I tell you something? You'd be better off with one-syllable words and it being sincere and you not trying to impress a man, and you connect with God. Adults could learn a lot from the prayer of a child. A little child can say, "Dear Jesus, bless my mommy. She's not feeling good." Whew. I think Jesus leans over the banister of heaven and saying, "I got you covered, girl. I understood exactly what you wanted and you meant it and it was from your heart." When children pray, they're not real worried that they look like Bible scholars. You know what they're doing? Talking to God. And I think sometimes, folks, we're so worried about what everybody thinks. We're even worried about what we think about what we're doing. to the point that it's not sincere, it's not real. Hey, God's not difficult. God's a good God. You know what He wants you to do? He wants you to ask Him for things. You know, when my children were growing up, they would come to ask for something. They knew it was not a good idea to give a 15-point outline and make it complicated. They could come and very simply say, "Daddy, could you help me with this?" And I was thrilled. I think sometimes we complicate it. God's not a complicated God. You see, I think sometimes we are worried about what other people think. We're more worried about what our prayer partner thinks than about what God thinks. We're more worried about praying. Hey, listen, to every man in here, if I call upon you to pray in the congregation for an offering or for the beginning of a service, try to get it to the point where you're not all freaked out about what everybody's going to think about what you're going to say. Man in my last church, I to this day am so impressed with him. His name was Damien. Damien was a Spanish man who loved the Lord. I could call on Brother Damien to pray in a service. Broken English. Damien would pray. And you'd be listening and you'd say, "Oh my. This man's talking to God." There was just a connect. You knew there was no show. He wasn't trying to impress anybody. It's almost like he was just continuing the conversation that he had right before he got interrupted and asked to pray publicly. You're not praying to impress the congregation, and we're not praying hoping not to embarrass ourselves. Folks, we're not on an ego trip. We're on a prayer journey. Yes, sir. And if you want to get something done in your prayer life, you've got to get past that. So when I was thinking about this thing of they met Peter and John and they said, you can tell they've been with Jesus. When Moses came down off the mountain, people said, look, you just know that Moses had been with God. I think it's important for you and I. One of the ways we spend time with God is in what we call prayer. And prayer is asking for something. So let's exalt Him, let's worship Him, let's praise Him. But don't forget, prayer is asking. And let's not spend all of our prayer time talking about people, not to others, not to ourselves. And I don't even think we need to spend all of our time criticizing other people to God. God already knows. I don't think we ought to spend our prayer time just talking on our knees, or talking to ourselves, or talking for the sake of others. What should we do? Talk to God and ask Him for something. I probably ought to prepare a sermon to this effect. I think Christianity today suffers terribly from what I call spiritual attention deficit. You can't get people to read their Bibles and concentrate on it. You can't get people to pray for any length of time. You can't get people to lock in on a sermon. I'll tell you what, boy, if you can't give them level 10 volume down to level 1 volume while you preach and a puppet show and do a few somersaults, and if you're not the second coming of Leonardo da Vinci in your ability to paint mental pictures, you can't keep people's attention today because we're lazy in mind and we suffer from spiritual attention deficit. I mean, people, they can't hold still, they won't sit still, they can't keep their mind on the preaching, they can't keep their mind in church, they can't keep their mind off their telephone, they're worried about everything under the sun, but they don't have time for God. And that's why we're not spiritual. When you go to prayer, who are you talking to? What are you doing? And it's not real hard. He's there, just like that. I promise you, the minute you say, "Dear Lord," He says, "Yes. Yes." I mean, we lock in. Something sweet. I got to tell you this story. Brother Earl preached in chapel for the Christian school this last week. And I was Wednesday night then, Brother Earl was sitting back here on the back row. And I went over to Brother Elswick, and I said, Brother Elswick, look at that right over there. Brother Earl, our missionary, he was sitting back here, and a couple of the young kids from the Christian school were over talking to Earl. And the way that Brother Elswick put it, he said this, those kids approached Brother Earl, and the minute they approached, Brother Earl locked in on those kids and gave those kids his undivided attention. They were the most important thing going on anywhere in the world, and we just watched. When you approach God to pray, and you say, Dear Jesus, He locks in on you. Might be a good idea for you to realize that. It might be that you ought to lock in on Him. That's the way it ought to be. Lock in mentally. If you want to succeed in your prayer life, you're going to have to learn to concentrate. Keep attached. Keep the connection with God. Work at it. Shut everything else off and out. I really think I could improve many people's prayer life if I could get you to turn your television off. Leave your phone in another room. Don't worry about your coffee, the newspaper. Get alone. Not with yourself. Get alone. Physically and mentally, spiritually, with God. The Bible tells us that we should make our requests known unto the Lord. See, the main reason we don't get our prayers answered is we don't pray. We talk to ourselves. We talk about people. We do so many things, but really connecting with God. And maybe I'm not explaining this well. I might be failing terribly at getting my point across, but I wonder how many people really connect with God. He's a real God. And when you go to pray, He is right there. You have His attention. Well, ask for something. I remember I was with Dr. Tom Williams, the evangelist, and I had the privilege of being with him, and he spoke for me many, many times, and we've spoken together at conferences, and we have a personal friendship and had for many, many years. But I can just tell you this. I remember one year I was picking him up at a hotel room to take him to a preaching meeting, and he and I would have a little trip from his hotel room to get to the preaching service. And I just gotta tell you, I went to the hotel, and he said, Brother Owens, when you get here, have the front desk give me a call, and I'll come down from my room. And I went to the front desk and I said, give him a call. And they called, and the front desk said, Dr. Williams said he'll be down in just a moment. I waited and I waited and I waited for a little while, and it didn't matter how long I was going to wait. When the elevator door opened and he stepped out, I was just about overwhelmed. And I thought, I think he's been with God. And if you ever heard him preach, you knew he'd been with God. As simple of a preacher, but powerful. I almost couldn't talk to him on the way to the meeting. I thought, I don't know what to say to him. What am I want to say, man, you've been praying, haven't you? Like a little kid. You know? But I was just very, very quiet. And we got to the meeting and he preached. Yeah. He had definitely been with God. So tonight I just want to recommend to all of us, if we're going to take the time to do the thing we call pray, let's do it right. Man, you'd be better off giving God 10 minutes of undivided attention than an hour of this sporadic, unconnected, unproductive religious stuff. let's learn from Peter and John. They said, yeah, you could tell. They had been with Jesus.